All the singing has been wonderful, but I do really appreciate the hard work the choir has been putting in. And I told my wife, I said, it's a good thing we're not Pentecostal Holiness because we would have tore this place apart this morning. Awesome. Not only the songs that were sung, but the spirit that they were sung in this morning. I just want to tell you that I really thank you for the hard work that you put in. If you will stand to your feet with me, we're going to read a couple of verses. Let's get the blood flowing. If you go to sleep during the preaching, I want to know that I was responsible for it. So stand first and let's read a couple of verses here. In John chapter number 19, begin reading with verse number 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he may take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes and with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. And God, I want to thank you for every family that's represented here this morning, God. And dear Lord, I just want to thank you for what we're celebrating here today. And God, I want to thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit that's here with us, God. And I pray for the next few minutes that you'll allow us to let your spirit move. God, that you'll speak to our hearts. And God, I pray most of all for this one here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as your personal Savior. God, help us to be everything that you would have us to be. God, I pray that you'll protect my mind and my lips for the next few moments and let me be completely in your will. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we read here in John chapter number 19, verse 38 through 42, if you'll notice, Jesus has died. He has been hung on a cross. He has given his life for you and I. He has chosen to lay his life down. I want you to know this morning that nobody took the life of Jesus. They did not kill Jesus, but he freely gave his life for you and I. Now that Jesus is dead and he has commended his spirit into the Father's hands, and he has said that it is finished, the plan is now finished, that we find that there are two men that come and they beg the body of Christ, and they want to take Christ and they want to put him in a sepulcher. They want to give him a respectable bury, as it was the custom of the Jews. And the Bible tells us that they came and they wrapped his body in linen clothes, that they anointed him with spices, and they took and they laid him in the sepulcher. But I want you to notice one of these men that came and took the body of Christ, his name was Nicodemus. And if you go back into John chapter number 3, you'll find where Nicodemus was a religious man, that he was a Pharisee, that he was a man that knew the Bible, that he knew the law, he knew the things that he was supposed to do and not do. But he came to Jesus at night and he said, Jesus, he said, I know that you're a great teacher, but what are these other things? Who are you really? And Christ told him, he says, if you want to live forever with me, that you must be born again. And there was a lot of questions that Nicodemus had. And we don't really see a conversion in Nicodemus there in John chapter number 3. But I believe the Bible is clearly showing us that Nicodemus believed in who Jesus was, that he accepted who Jesus was for him to be coming and begging the body of Christ. He came with him. He said, I want to be part of giving this man a respectable bury. There was a great change in Nicodemus's life between John chapter number 3 and John chapter number 19. My focus for you this morning, my focus for myself, our goal is in the next few minutes that we open our hearts and that we open our minds. And if there is a change that is needed in our hearts, if there is a spiritual change that needs to take place in our lives this morning, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is here, that his Holy Spirit is moving, and now is the time to make a change. Now is the time to let him move in your heart and in your life. But Jesus here, he's been laid in a tomb. He's there in verse number 1 of chapter number 20. Let's continue reading. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark into the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. As they're going out to the garden this morning, that morning they're saying, how in the world are we going to move this stone and get in to where the body of Christ is? How are we going to move this stone that they, not only that, but there were Roman soldiers there guarding it. How are we going to get in to where Jesus is and be able to anoint his body with these spices that we've had? Verse number 2, the Bible says, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Somebody has took Jesus, and we don't know where he's at. Verse number 3, Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran, they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first into the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the other, with the linen clothes, but wrapped together and a place by itself. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. I've never broke into anybody's house and stole anything. I know that some of y'all have been mischievous. Y'all have done that. I know this church don't trust anybody in this church. They're rascals. I'll just tell you that. And I know that maybe even in a prank or something, that maybe you've been in somebody's house before, or maybe slipping around and trying to get something. Let me ask you something. Do you think that if somebody went into that sepulchre to steal the body of Christ with all of those Roman soldiers around guarding the tomb that morning, if someone went in to steal that body, do you think they're going to take time to unwind all of those linen clothes, to take them off of his body and to lay them over here, and to gently take a little napkin off of his head and lay it over here? I want to tell you this morning that no, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case at all, that somebody went in to steal the body of Jesus. I want to tell you this morning, and I'm here to tell you, that he's alive. He got up on his own that morning, that he took those linen clothes off and he walked out of that grave. I want to tell you this morning, nobody stole the body of our Savior, but this morning he's alive for you and I. Verse number 8. Then went also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away into their own home. They just went away. Verse number 11. But Mary is still there in the garden. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And in another account in one of the other gospels, these angels speak to her and they say, why seek ye the living among the dead? I'm so glad that I'm not serving a dead Savior this morning. My Savior is alive. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you and I. His Spirit is here this morning, speaking to my heart and speaking to your heart. I'm glad that he's not a little statue on a shelf. He's not a little picture that I have to go to. He's not even some beads I have to rub together this morning. But I am serving a risen Savior this morning that's living on the inside of me. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saying to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, in other words, if you have taken him, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary, called her right by name. Don't you remember the day that Jesus called you by name? Man, I'm so glad that I remember the night laying in my bed up here in my little house in Cana. I remember the night that Jesus called me by name. He spoke to my heart and he wooed me into the family. I'm glad that I can know the day that Jesus called my name. But he said, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now look, I want to show you something, or let's just talk about it because I ain't got time to turn to it. But there's other scriptures where Jesus plainly told the disciples what was fixing to take place. Jesus told them, look, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be killed, but I will rise again. And the disciples just couldn't wrap their mind around it. They just couldn't quite understand it all. But now, you know, the Bible tells us here just a few minutes ago that the disciples, after Peter and John went to the sepulchre and they ran back and told the others, the Bible tells us that they all went to their own home. But I believe that they were still troubled by this. I believe that they were still troubled in their mind, and they weren't quite sure about what had taken place. They weren't really quite sure about whether Jesus was risen, whether somebody had taken. They really didn't have it all together in their mind. Because you find here in verse number 19 that all of a sudden they're coming back together to talk about it. Now, when we go into this room, look in verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled, in other words, they've all come together for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Now, I want to tell you something this morning, that while all of these disciples were together, they should have been in there high-fiving each other. They should have been jumping up and down. They should have been saying, we know that he's alive. They should have been throwing the same kind of fit that I'm wanting to throw this morning. But yet, the Bible tells us that they were assembled in fear, that they still were just kind of confused. They didn't have a whole lot of comfort about this situation. Just as Mary was in the garden, she was in a place, she was weeping because she didn't know where Jesus was. But the Bible tells us here in the latter part of verse number 19, then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They finally recognized who Jesus was. You know, I think it's amazing how that Jesus knew what was going on in their hearts and their minds, and even in Mary Magdalene there in the garden, that he revealed himself unto her, that he spoke to her and he called her name, and she said, Master. She recognized him. Here are the disciples. They're in a place that they're not quite sure where they want to be. They're not quite sure in their mind. They don't have the comfort because look what Jesus tells them. He says, peace, be of good comfort. They're having trouble with this. But then when they see Jesus and he reveals himself unto them, the Bible tells us that they were glad when they saw the Lord. Let's go down to verse number 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He was out by himself somewhere or another. The Bible says in verse number 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. He revealed himself unto us. He come here in this room where we were at. I mean, can you imagine the story that they were telling? I mean, these other disciples, can you imagine them saying, we were sitting here and we were afraid. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know which way to turn, which way to go. We didn't know whether we were next to be crucified. We didn't know what we should do. And then all of a sudden, Jesus revealed himself here in this room. He showed us his hands and his feet. He showed at his side. And I mean, they should have had so much excitement that everybody in the world would have believed what they said. But here they are, they're telling, doubting Thomas here. And look at verse number 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. As I look at this scripture this morning, I can't help but think that Jesus loved his disciples so much, that he loved Mary Magdalene so much, that he knew they was going to have trouble with this, that he knew that they was going to be kind of some doubts in their mind. There was going to be some things that they were troubled with about this, and they didn't have a whole lot of comfort. But aren't you glad that he loved them enough to continue to reveal himself unto them? He continued. He went to Mary Magdalene there in the garden. He went to the disciples when they were there in the room. And because Thomas was not there, and because Thomas was still having trouble believing, he then came back and said, okay, Thomas, if you need to, here, I want you to see my hands. I want you to see my side. Let me reveal myself unto you. Now look, the disciples should have had head knowledge of what had happened. They should have had head knowledge of Jesus coming out of that tomb. But they were still having trouble believing. I believe that every one of us here this morning has a head knowledge of what Easter is all about. I believe that everybody here, you've heard since you were tiny, or maybe just since you made the choice to start attending church yourself, that at some time in your life, you have heard that Jesus Christ died for you. You have heard that they put him in a tomb. You have heard that on the third day that he got up out of that tomb. And I believe that everyone here has a head knowledge of that. We've heard the story. We've read the scripture. We've been showed the little films, the little cartoons, or whatever it is. I know that we have a head knowledge of that, but do you know that there's a complete difference in having a head knowledge of what Jesus Christ did for you and believing by faith and having a relationship with Jesus Christ? There's a complete difference in saying, I know what Christ did. I know that he gave his life for me. I know that he shed his blood for me. There's a complete difference in that and saying, God, I accept what you allowed Christ to do for me on the cross. I accept the love that he had for me. I accept the blood to cover my sins, to wash my sins away. There's a complete difference in that. But I want to tell you something this morning. Don't be troubled by it. Don't get yourself in a place you go, oh no, what have I done? Because here the disciples, even though they had that head knowledge, I believe that some of them believed because they had walked with Christ, but they were still having trouble with it. Maybe this morning you find yourself, you have a head knowledge, but you have never took the chance or had the opportunity to say, I believe. Don't be troubled by it, because I want to show you something. God is continuing to allow Christ to reveal himself to you. Even as he did Mary Magdalene there in the garden, even as he did the disciples there in the room, even when he came back the third time and showed himself unto Thomas there in the upper room. You say, well, preacher, I've never seen Jesus. You know what? With my physical eyes, I've never seen Jesus either. I have never laid my physical eyes on Jesus. But I believe with all of my heart that he's alive and he's real and he's dwelling on the inside of me. But I want to show you something. He has revealed himself to me over and over and over again. You say, well, how? Well, let's start with something really simple. Let's start with you that are parents here in the congregation this morning. Let's start with the day that your firstborn was brought into this world. Let's start with that day. Do you remember that feeling when a doctor turned, and if you're the mother, and laid that precious baby right there on your stomach, and after all of a sudden, all that pain just went away, didn't it? And if you're standing there and you are a dad, hey, I remember when my son was born. I remember it was such an exciting and a scary time all at the same time. But when I looked at him and I heard that first whimper and I put him in my arms the first time, I knew that there was no way that could be anything but a gift from God to me and my wife. I knew there was no way that that just happened. I knew that there was no way that that was just something that just, whoo, I mean, out of nowhere came into our lives, that that was a gift from God. And right there standing in Forsyth Hospital, once again, God revealed himself unto me and said, look what I've given you. I'm real. This is life. I'm real. Maybe some of you can think back through some of y'all are fixing to go through that. Some of y'all are fixing to experience that. Trust me, talk to some of the other ladies in here, you'll forget the pain once they put that little baby in your hands. You'll forget all that. Even the Bible speaks to that. But can you remember God revealing himself to you in other ways? If you're here this morning and you're healthy, you were able to get up and put your own clothes on, you were in your right mind and you were able to come and attend the house of God this morning, I want you to know that God revealed himself to you this morning, whether you realize it or not. That God breathed on you just a little bit this morning and said, I'm going to allow his heart to continue pumping. I'm going to allow his lungs to continue working. I'm going to allow her to get up and have the strength to get up out of bed and get this whole family ready so they can go to church on Easter Sunday morning. God revealed himself this morning, whether you realize it or not. There may be times in your life, and you may be saying, I've been broken in my life. I've had my heart broken. I've had my feelings hurt. I want you to know that the way that you got through that is by the grace of God. And you know, I've even been one to preach that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you don't have the grace of God. But I'm not so sure that I'm correct in that. Because the Bible tells me that it rains on the just and the unjust. I believe that God's grace works in people who are saved. I believe that God's grace works in people who are lost. Because without the grace of God, there's no way you would have made it through what you made it through. God's grace was there. God has revealed himself to you. Maybe some of you might be a little older. You may have been in situations that you shouldn't have been in. You may have been in a time in your life where you might not should have made it home safe. You may have been in a time that you don't remember how you got home that night. You may have been in a place to where I don't know how I walked out of there alive. I don't know how I walked out of that car. I don't know how I want you to know something. That was all Christ revealing himself to you, saying, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to spare you one more time. God has revealed himself to us over and over again. And I want to tell you this morning that if you're here and you have not felt the Spirit of God, there is something definitely wrong in your life. There is something definitely wrong with your spiritual thermometer in your life if you've not felt the Spirit of God this morning. And I don't care if you've been out of church for a while, if you've never been in church, or if you've been here every single Sunday. If you feel the Spirit of God in your heart and your life this morning, that is God revealing Himself to you. He's saying, I'm real, I'm alive. Why don't you want to be here with me? Why don't you want to walk with me? Why don't you want to talk with me? Look, old Thomas here, he was having trouble with it. Choir, if y'all will, come on back. I'm going to get y'all to sing something this morning. And I'm just about done. I want you to look what Thomas said. Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails. Now, I want to tell you something. I done told you this morning that I've never physically seen Jesus. I have never physically seen the scars in my Savior's hands. I have never physically touched His hand and seen the nail prints in His hand. But I want to tell you something. There's been times in my life when I was afraid. There's been times in my life when I was scared. There's been times in my life when I didn't know which way I needed to go. And I didn't actually touch Jesus' hands, but I felt His hand take hold of mine and say, come on, I want to lead you just a little bit. You just trust me. You follow me. You know what? Sometimes when I'm out with my daughters, we'll be out and we'll be getting ready to cross the street and they know there's a little danger there. They trust Dad, and I'll feel both of those little hands go into my hands and they're saying, "Trust, I trust you. Just lead me." I want you to know that that's the way that Jesus does me. When there's danger in my life that He comes, I may not physically see those nail prints. I may not have touched them, but I want you to know that I have felt His hand in mine, that I know He's there to lead me through the times that I don't know what's going on. And then Thomas said, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into His side. You know what? I've never had my hand thrust into the side of Christ. I've never physically reached in and felt where they pierced His side with a spear. But just as I said a little earlier, I felt Him on the inside of me so many times. Hey, I'm going to tell you, just a while ago, I thought I was going to bust right there. I've had to undo my button on my collar and everything this morning. I mean, it's getting real. And I love it when the Holy Spirit is real in our life. He has revealed Himself unto us. He's real this morning. He's not just some figment of our imagination. It's not just a storybook. This is the true, living, infallible, inspired Word of God. And all it takes is a little bit of faith. You say, well, preacher, I'm having trouble with the faith. Well, trust me. God's trying to reveal Himself to you this morning. He's trying to say, hey, I'm right here. Look at what I've done in your life. Look what I did for you on the cross. Now just trust me. You know, so many people think, well, if I surrender to Christ, if I give my life to Christ, I've got to be perfect. Well, I want to tell you something. If you've got to be perfect, I better start all over again because I messed up. Well, if I choose Christ in my life, then I got to quit all of this stuff over here. Well, let me tell you something. Once God comes into your life, He'll change the desires that are in your life. You won't have to change a whole lot because God's going to change it for you. Well, preacher, you tell me all the time that Christians shouldn't do this and Christians shouldn't do that. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. What's going to help you more than that is when God begins to tell you, when you get in those situations, and that begins to stir on the inside, and you'll go, you know what? Somebody gave their life for me. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own anymore. Christ will reveal Himself to you in those situations too. Don't let that make you afraid. This morning, if Christ has revealed Himself unto you, I want to ask you this. How much more has He got to do? How much more has He got to do before you say, that's it, I surrender? I'm done living my life the way I want to live it. But Christ, I want to accept what You did for me on the cross. I want to give my life to You. I want to be part of You. I want to have that personal relationship. I don't want a bunch of do's and don'ts. I don't want some preacher telling me how to cut my hair or that I ought to dress a certain way or that I have to wear a dress to church. I could care less. You get a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and He'll work all that out. It won't be any business of mine whatsoever. But how much more has He got to reveal Himself? Because you also know, I'll tell you this, and I just want to be completely honest with you. God loves you so much. And I'm not trying to scare you. I just want to give you all the facts. God loves you so much that not only will He reveal Himself in ways of comfort and joy and peace and just being there, but if God has to take something out of your life in order for you to see your need for Him, He'll do that also. How much more has He got to do? Hey, what He done on the cross should be enough. That should have us flooding the altar this morning and saying, God, I want you in my life. But for some reason, we struggle with that. But he's revealed himself over and over and over. How much more has he got to do? As you stand to your feet this morning, the choir's going to sing here in just a minute. Before they do, I just want you to bow your head and close your eyes for a minute. Jennifer, if you will, play for just a moment, please. This song is going to ask you the question, how much more? He has showed you so many times. He has revealed himself so many times. And I'm going to ask you this morning, what is it going to take for you to finally step out and say, I surrender my life to God? See, you need, that's sort of a tricky statement that I'm saying right there. Because some of you are thinking, well, I'm saved. I know that I made a profession of faith. I know that I accepted Christ. But are you surrendered to Christ? Because you know what? There's times that I have to go back weekly. There's times that I have to go back daily and say, God, I surrender. I've tried to take control of my life again. And God, I'm sorry. I want to surrender. Christians, this morning, how many times has God revealed himself? And how many times do we try to take pieces of our lives back? Maybe you need to resurrender this morning. Maybe I need to resurrender. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Hey, I want to tell you something that is so exciting, that Jesus Christ is alive, that he got up out of the grave. But what's even more exciting is that he was willing to come and give his life on a cross so that you don't have to die and go to hell. What's more exciting is that he loves you so much that no matter what you have done, no matter the sin that may have come into your life, that he's willing to forgive you for it. Man, that right there just done something for me, that he knew what I was going to be, and yet he loved me enough that he still gave his life for me. Lord, I just want to thank you and I want to praise you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. God, I don't know any hearts that are here, but God, I thank you for revealing yourself one more time. God, I thank you for speaking to our hearts. God, I pray, dear Father, if there are Christians here that maybe we have taken pieces of our life back, God, and we need to resurrender. God, that we need to let you have control. God, I pray that you'll help us to make that move this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's some here that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. God, I pray that you'll reveal yourself really wide open right now in their life. Help them to see all the times that you've been there when nobody else was. Most of all, help them to see that you gave your life for them on Calvary. And God, may they step out and accept you. God, I pray that we'll all leave here closer than we were when we came. Have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar's open. The choir's going to sing. If you've got a need, bring it on. Don't wait on anybody else. Come on and talk to God. Thank you for being here this morning. I really appreciate you being here. I want to challenge you for one thing. If you're in that spot where you're having trouble knowing whether you're in or whether you're, watch for God to reveal himself this week. If you'll look for it, I guarantee you that he will reveal himself in your life. Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful time with your families this afternoon. Go ahead and eat a lot because, I mean, it's just what we do. That's just what we do. But have a good time with your family this morning. Have a great week and look for God to reveal himself in your life. Nathan Boyd, would you dismiss us in word of prayer, please?